You're listening to the Resurgent ATL Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Oh, goodness. All right. Well, listen, I've been on a kick this year. The past couple times I preached, I promised to you that I personally would be going over our core values, foundational beliefs, and things that, you know, that we know that we know, that we know that we believe, but we don't talk about as often as we should, especially when we're in an apostolic movement, an apostolic environment where, yes, it's prophetic, but the apostolic is drawing in people from all four corners and then sending them out. And so you'll notice if you've been here for long enough, for the past 5-6 years, we have some of the core people that have been with us since day one, but there are a lot of new faces. And so my goal this year, until I run out of stuff to talk about in this, is to really go back over what we believe and why we believe it, and then add some biblical context to it so that we can understand that this isn't just head knowledge, but this is supposed to actually transform us into the likeness of Christ. Does that make sense? So this morning, I want to talk about honor. If you want to put that up, yep. This is one of our core values here. We've talked about family. Back in January, this past month in February, I talked about how God's kingdom is advancing in the earth and how that happens through us. Number one, I'm doing this in a very specific order for right now until I can't make it make sense anymore. But number one, the primary thing for us is family, is that we are a church that is a family that is centered around God's presence. And you can't have family, the real kingdom family, without God's presence. And you can't have the fullness of God's presence without family, because he is family. Does that make sense? And so last month we talked about how the gospel and how God's kingdom is advanced through us. That can only happen in its fullness if we have healthy family restored, right? And so this month, this is what I really wanted to nail down for us, is talking about honor. How many people love talking about honor? How many people love modeling honor? I know that it's something we talk about, maybe not on the platform all the time, but we do model it. It's in our conversations every day. If you've ever been offended by anyone, what's the first thing? I just didn't feel honored in that. I felt like I was being dishonored. Or when we talk about corrupt leadership or immoral leadership in churches that we watch from, definitely not in this house, not anyone here. I'm talking about, because I love Chris Oliver, he would never dishonor anyone because he's perfect. No, I'm kidding. I love you. I love you. Thank you. You do model honor well, and I thank you for that. But we do have, with social media and an online platform, the ability to see leaders at large scale show mass dishonor in the way that they lead their bodies. And I hope that, I want you to hear me, because I've talked a lot about the local church for the past couple months, 2 or 3 months. There is something happening in local bodies across America, across the globe, but specifically in the U.S., where they're drawn in the sand of, am I going to not only believe what the Word says and believe who God says he is, not only for me, for my family, for my church, or am I going to succumb to the current culture and let that be the thing that transforms me? And so this body, I want you to know, whether you believe that yet or not, we have committed to stay true to the Word and the character and the nature of God in this house. Okay? I know that's very basic. This is A, B, C, D, E, F, G elementary stuff. And I want us to be able to take the most basic thing and do that well this year. That means I want to take the most basic components of family, and I want to let God nurture family in the soil of my life and water it and grow it. I want him to take the way that he advances the kingdom, water that in the soil of my life so that I can not only understand it, but now I can live it. And today, this is what I want to talk about. I want him to plant honor, God, the way that he sees honor, the way that he models it, plant that in the soil of my life and water it and allow it to grow so that it might bear rich fruit. Amen? That sound good? All right, so let's dig into this. Let's pull that first quote up. This is kind of the cornerstone quote in terms of our beliefs. If you go on our website, this is a little fun fact. If you go on our website and you want to go back and reread through some of these, a little bit of this content's on there, but our website has all of our core values on it. And I'm honestly pulling from a lot of our website where we have this information here. So if you ever want to go back and read this, All of this is available at resurgentatl.com under our beliefs tab. But this is what it says. We celebrate a person for who they are without stumbling over who they are not. I'm going to read it one more time. We celebrate a person for who they are without stumbling over who they're not. And this is the way that, number one, this the way that we are supposed to honor and view honor. This is the way that God sees honor. This is the way that he sees us. Even pre-cross death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, no matter what lens you see the Old Testament through, this is the way right here that God honors the body, the bride, his children, is that in our flaws, he looks at who he's designed us to be and who he's called us to be and who he's forming us to be. He doesn't look at the sin. He doesn't look at the mistakes. He doesn't look at the past. He doesn't look at the history. He only sees. He has the capacity to only see the good. Where we have, do you understand? Does this make sense this morning? Where we have the capacity in humanity and in brokenness to see all of the flaws in people. I could look at Chris right now and think about all the things that he's ever done wrong, all the ways that he messes up every week. But God has this incredible capacity to look at us and no longer see any of that. Every day when he looks at me, he only sees the best of me. How many believe that this morning? That's a tough thing, a real tough pill to swallow for many, because religion has taught us that because of our sin and because sin was so great, that was enough to throw me into the pit of hell. And Jesus has to come in the religious view. I want you to hear what I'm saying. Don't get this twisted. I don't believe this way. God had to bring Jesus in the middle of us so that Jesus could take the punishment and the wrath for us. That's what religion says. Grace says, actually, the gospel says that I was co-crucified with him. That there was no, y'all are super quiet. I hope this is hitting for someone this morning, because this is the real gospel that we're talking about, is that I was not separate from Christ in the crucifixion. He didn't get on a cross without me. I was there with him. Man, y'all are so quiet this morning. I hope this is good. When we talk about new and old covenant, old and new testament, we are in both. Does it make sense? And so when he sees me, he also sees Christ. He doesn't see, he sees everything. He observes the brokenness, the sin, the shame, the guilt. But in his infinite capacity, can only see the beauty in us. Why? Because he's put his son in us. I was co-crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ in me. And so that is how he is able to celebrate us for who we are without stumbling over who we're not. Does that make sense? Because we have the fullness of the Holy Spirit in us, not just a portion. He didn't give us a break off a corner and put it in us, right? He took the fullness of God, the fullness of the Spirit of God, put it inside of us so that we could do not just what Jesus did, but greater. That makes sense? Okay, so I know this is a lot to unpack. If this is the first time you're hearing this, this will absolutely blow your mind open, because the way that religion and modern church has set it up is to make us believe that we are separate from Christ because we're lesser, because sin has made us less than. But the problem is that sin, we know by Scripture, is not more powerful than God. Do we agree on that this morning? Okay, I'm so glad. I'm so thankful somebody agrees with me right now. Because sin is not greater, his capacity to dwell in me supersedes my ability to bear sin. Because of the goodness of God, I'll say it one more time, because his goodness is so prominent in me, that outweighs on the scale of all of this stuff that we're talking about. God's goodness outweighs the power of sin every time. Do we agree? All right. If not, then you're having your minds transformed this morning. I see the gears turning. This is good. All right. Let's get into, I want to bring some clarity and help define some of the core values that we have. And with each one of these values, whether it's family or honor or whatever it is, we have kind of four common values with each one. I want to break those down and explain some biblical context with them and break down what I like to call some do's and don'ts. What does it mean in a healthy way? And then what can it look like in an unhealthy way or in an unhealthy system? Is that okay? All right, let's look at number one. Honor recognizes and affirms that every person, say every person, affirms that every person is valuable and powerful. We are made in God's image. He died to restore us to relationship with him. Therefore, we are significant. That is a lot to unpack. Let's break that down. Number one, honor recognizes and affirms that every person is valuable and powerful. I want you to look to the left and to the right of the people next to you. Every person that you just looked at is valuable and powerful. And I want to break this down, and I'm going to talk about leadership a little bit this morning, because a lot of times honor is taught that leadership and pastors and preachers and people on platforms are the people that are to be the most valued. I would like to say that there is scripture in the New Testament that backs up that leaders have a greater anointing and that are to be respected with a greater honor. But I do believe this right here and now, that every person, this direction, left and right, and this direction, front and back, have the same amount of value, purpose, and power. There is no greater Holy Spirit in me than there is in Chris, or in Josh, or in L'Oreal, or any person in this room. That there is no ladder, there is no scale in terms of value, okay? And so this is how God has set up the kingdom, in that because Christ is in us, because he's put his Spirit in us, now everyone is on an equal playing field. The only thing that hinders that is our ability to believe that. If I choose to believe that what Scripture says is true and what God said is true, then this is going to be a tangible reality for me every day. Amen? We are made in God's image. How many believe that? Amen. That's in Genesis. That's plain and simple. He died to restore us to relationship with him. Therefore, we are significant. Two very powerful statements right there. Many people do not believe this. He died to restore us to relationship with him, not to make us sinless people. Now, I do want you to hear this, that the cross and the death and the burial and the resurrection absolutely eradicated the power of sin. We have the ability to do so right now because of grace and because of freedom. I am free to sin every day of my life. But because grace was added to the equation, I'm now empowered to live above sin. Okay? And so this is what religion tries to do, is it says, okay, he actually died to save us from hell. The saving us from hell part is already true. He did that in this one act. The greater reality here is that he died to restore us to relationship. That the work of the cross was not just about salvation and saving me from death. That's still true. But the work of the cross is a work of reconciliation. He died to reconcile us to the Father. Therefore, we are significant. And so my significance is not tied up in my anointing, my ability to play an instrument, my ability to serve in any of these areas, and kids and set up or any of these things, how well I can communicate to people, how well I do my job. None of that matters in this realm of honor. It's tied up in he died to restore us to relationship. That's where my identity comes from. That's where my significance comes from. Are we tracking this morning? Let's read some scripture for context. Let's look at Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing. I love that part. That creeps on the earth. All the creepy stuff. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. We know the scripture. And fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And so honor recognizes and affirms every person is valuable and powerful from day one, from the first man, from Adam. God has designed the system called honor in his kingdom, in his world, in his reality, so that when he views humanity, he views himself. Do you understand that? That we are a physical mirror for him. Does that mean that we are God? No. I want to clarify right now before anybody misconstrues or tries to twist words this morning. We are not God. I am a little C Christ, okay? He is big C Christ. There is no man walking on the earth that is equal to him. But because of the way that he's designed this, because he's put his son in me, his spirit in me, when he looks at me, he sees Jesus. Oh, y'all are so quiet this morning. I'm going to say that one more time. When he looks at me and you, who does he see? And he does that by the cross. Co-crucified, co-seated, co-raised from the dead. Amen? Man, y'all are so... Are we okay? We feeling this? This is the gospel. I hope y'all are okay with this morning. Ooh. Man, let's move on to number two. Maybe y'all will get in a better mood in a minute. Oh, boy. Pull up, yeah, point two. There we go. Honor recognizes and celebrates the best in people. Ooh, this is going to be tough. In spite of our differences, we respond to people based on their God-given identity and the honor in our hearts, not their behavior, oh my goodness, or self-definition. This means now that I am no longer allowed to view or treat people based on their behavior. Oh, this is going to be a quiet day, I can already tell. Oh, boy. Let's go ahead and pull up scripture, and I want to. I'm just going to keep reading until somebody says something. I don't know. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. Let's read this. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. He's talking about Christ's ascension. Now we regard him in the spirit, right? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a? Thank you, Jesus. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Here is the difficulty in 2 Corinthians 5, is that therefore if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, is not always a present tense reality. Craig, I'm not picking on you, I'm using an example, is that Craig might not be present tense new creation, okay? Jenny might not be present tense new creation just yet, but the role of honor, the job of honor is to see beyond the current and to see what's going to happen when they step into verse 17. Because my ability to see Jenny or Craig or any of these people in this room, anyone outside these four walls, to see them as if they are already new creation, verse 17, new creation people, is what calls them into that new creation reality. Do we understand that? That beating them with the Bible and berating them with scripture and yelling at them isn't going to transform them into the character of Christ, because he didn't do that either. It's my believing the best about my brother is what causes them to come into the reality of verse 17. Now y'all are tracking much better. I'm glad we're on the same page this morning. I'm going to read it one more time. Honor recognizes and celebrates the best in people in spite of our differences. Notice that it didn't say in spite of our current state of salvation. Is that I might be viewing this in the context of mutual believers. We might not agree in theology, Craig. But it's my job to see you the way that God sees you. And not to hold our differences above honor. Is making sense this morning? Let's keep going. We're running way out of time. Let's look at number three, Shante. Here we go. Honor is demonstrated through consistent respect in word, oh my goodness, and in action toward those we lead, follow, love, and disagree with. Here we go. While honor avoids controlling others, it also lovingly what? Confronts, limits, and disciplines when necessary. Oh, this is getting tougher and tougher. Here's the problem with much of, and I want all of you to hear what I'm about to say this morning. I love the local church. I've grown up in church my entire life. I've survived and become victorious over much of my upbringing in religiosity and denominationalism and all this other stuff that a lot of us in this room, I know that a lot of people in here can testify that they've come from a background that was religious or hardcore or bound by laws and rules. But what happens a lot of times when we get free from something, when it's traumatic enough, we go to the other extreme. How many know the term grace and hypergrace? And I'm not here to preach on any of that this morning because I think there's a lot of good and a lot of bad in it. It's wrong to see only the bad in a thing that's happened, right? But this is what has happened in the hypergrace movement over the past 10, 15 years is that a lot of that generation got free from religion and flip-flopped to the other extreme and went to, oh, well, we don't need discipline. You know, God loves me for who I am already. Why do I need to read scripture? When scripture was actually meant to reveal him. And so now, 10 years later, we've got a whole generation, two generations actually or more, that are churched but don't know him. Because they've took away the lens in which we're actually supposed to see him. We've got fathers and mothers in churches all over America and all over the globe that were a part of this sweeping movement in America. They don't have the capacity to discipline and love now because they bought into the lie that we're all sons and daughters. You're covered by grace. It's fine. His blood covers everything. Yes, his blood covers everything, but I have a responsibility, not just as a believer, but as a father, to correct poor behavior, to call out godlessness when I see it. Not in love, but in mercy, because I love you. That's the job of the believer. Honor is demonstrated through consistent respect in word and in action. But watch this. While honor avoids controlling others, because this is what the church tried to escape from, was control, it also lovingly confronts, limits, that's not a word we like either, that's a trigger word, and disciplines. Lovingly confronts, limits, and disciplines. Confrontation, boundaries, and discipline is the bedrock of honor. You can't have healthy honor without this. Let's read some scripture. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13. This is 1 through 7. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong. A noisy gong. This is what he's saying. I'm a noisy gong. I'm just a loud noise, a clanging cymbal. If I don't have love, I'm just a loud noise. I'm just annoying. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, some translations say, if I even give myself up to die, but I don't have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. How many know this scripture? Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. I want you to receive this morning. I'm gonna start this over again. I want you to just open up yourself to receive this as a truth for yourself, okay? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Oh my gosh, Jesus, help me. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the what? With the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. How many know that we need more hope right now than ever? And endures all things. It is not irritable or resentful, does not rejoice in wrongdoing. This right here, 1 Corinthians 13, is the framework for, okay, now that I know what honor doesn't look like, what does it look like? It looks like what? Love. And now we have a definition of love. How do I love someone? It's patient and kind. It's not envious, not arrogant. I was jokingly saying it's not irritable or resentful, but man, I'm irritable a lot. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This is a prayer. This is more than scripture. This is more than context. This is a prayer for the body of Christ, that in the end of the age, we have something not just to look forward to, not looking forward to an escape plan, but we have a way to live, to be transformed, to then go and transform the world. How many know that we can't transform the world until we're actually transformed first, that the real transformation begins here first before it begins out there? And this right here, I say make it a prayer. Lord, I am patient. I am kind. I do not envy or boast. Even if it's not true to you yet, Lord, I am not irritable. Pray it over yourself until it becomes true. And ask the Holy Spirit to come and reveal those areas, those tender areas where it might seem too real for you, to have him come and touch it, heal it, transform it, and deliver you from it, so that you might be transformed into his likeness rather than the world's. Amen? Let's look at number four. The level of honor we have for a person directly affects our ability to receive for them. One more time. The level of honor we have for a person directly affects our ability to receive from them. Let's look at Matthew 10. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. I know this is confusing. We're going to talk about it. The one who receives a prophet, because he is a prophet, will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person, because he is a righteous person, will receive what? A righteous person's reward. That's right. And whoever gives one of these little ones, he's talking about children in the gathering here. Whoever gives one of these little ones, yep, that one back there. Whoever gives one of them even a cup of cold water, because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. I would like to tell you and suggest to you this morning, I'm sorry I'm losing my voice a little bit, I'm going to try to hurry through this, that much of the motivation of leaders, especially young leaders, young pastors, young church planters, young evangelists, have been motivated by the wrong reward. And if any of us in this room have been frustrated by young leaders, I'm talking to myself this morning too. If any of us have been frustrated by young leaders not operating in grace, not operating in love, being motivated by selfish ambition, financial gain, Instagram followers, at the expense of the people around them and the people that they are responsible for leading, they have received their reward. Do you understand this morning? What is Jesus talking about in Matthew 10? He's saying this, that if you're looking for a platform, you'll get your platform. If you're looking for $1 million in your bank account, you'll probably get it if you work hard enough. But at the expense of others. And he's saying this, whoever even gives one of these children just a cup of water, he will not lose his reward. Why? Because the reward of honor is honor, not platforms, not money, not Instagram followers. Oh, it's quiet. It's quiet. And this is why much of America has such disdain and mistrust for the local church right now. This is why I spent the past 10 plus years of my life allowing the Lord to heal my heart for the local church, which then transformed me to being more passionate about the local church than I've ever been in my entire life. When it should have caused me to run away from it, the Lord called me back and gave me a passion for it, because this behavior is what I and much of us grew up in, is that platforms and visibility and metrics and impressions online, subscriber counts, how many likes I get on my Facebook post about my right theology and everybody else's wrong theology, at the expense of other people, not even unbelievers, at the expense of other believers, has muddied the view of the local church, of the body of Christ, not even the local church anymore. Christians are the most hated religious group on the planet right now because of this. Not because we preach truth. This is a harsh word this morning, but I want us to walk out of here knowing the reality of what we live in. That it's not because we're right that people hate us. A lot of atheists know that we're right. How many of you have seen testimonies of atheists that are like, yeah, I haven't seen them, but something's real. I've seen legs grow out. I've seen way too many Todd White videos to discount it. Okay? It's obvious that something is out there. Most people will believe that. This behavior is what has put a veil between, where Jesus came to eradicate the veil between him and us. This puts up a lens, oh, they're hateful people, because we've got our priorities upside down. Whoever receives you receives me. Whoever receives me receives him who sent me. Who's he talking about? The Father. Does this make sense this morning? Number four, let's move on. The level of honor. Oh, we just did this. Well, I thought we were on three. No. Okay. Let's do this. What do we have? 11 minutes. Oh, boy. All right, Jesus. How are we going to do this morning? I'm gonna speed read through some of these points. I'm not going to read a lot more scripture this morning. I have a few more. But I have under that section that says, what does this mean? Let's look at, I'm going to read 1-5. I'm just going to read them to us this morning. These are some healthy context points, right? Of, okay, what does this mean after all these points? Okay, let's read through them together. I feel like most of us can agree with these. If not, then come and talk to me after. Number one, we love people even if we do not receive anything from them in return. And that's a fun one to hear after we just talked about number four, about receiving, right? We love people even if we don't get anything from them at all. Right? Number two, let's keep going. We love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. I'm going to read Matthew 5 real quick. I'm just going to speed read through these, okay? Matthew 5, verse 43 through 40-something, 8, I think it is, yep. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Did you understand that? The way that verse 44 and 45 is broken up is very intentional. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Watch this, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Understand that sonship is not had, let me say it this way, the prerequisite for sonship is what? Love your enemies. Bless your persecutors. Not get on Facebook and bash them. Not run from them when they show up to church with you. Love them. Pray for them. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Oh, that's a weird statement. How can I be perfect? Do you know that, oh boy, I'm just going all the way and you can fix it later if you want to. Do you understand that the work of the cross and him sending his spirit and placing himself inside of you actually made you perfect? That if you have, oh boy, If you believe, as a believer, how many people believe in God? How many people believe in Jesus? Just a bold statement right here, I know. Yes, if you consider yourself a Christian and you believe in the cross and believe in the resurrection, believe he's inside of you, yes? Okay, do you understand that that work has made you perfect? Which will grate against most of our standards of perfection. I said an inappropriate word in traffic the other day, so I mean, he's still working out my salvation, you know? It's an everyday work. You therefore must be perfect. Jesus says you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is a command. This isn't a suggestion. He wouldn't give us an impossible task, right? And so, in the cross, in the resurrection, in the ascension, when he takes his seat at the right hand, he gives us the ability, fulfills verse 48. Therefore, you must be perfect. How? Christ in me. That's how. Oh boy, I'm getting looks. Here we go. Let's move on. Let's look at number three. Some people need to belong before they believe. I'm going to say that again. Some people need to belong before they believe. Rather than judge people outside the church, we love, serve, and speak life to them, hoping that they will soon embrace the truth of Father's love. How many agree with that? Good. Number four, it's a mistake to give honor to those in leadership, but not those in our everyday lives. Did you know that if you honor Pastor Chris and Pastor Terry and myself and Pastor Gary and Pastor Lacey, but you love not your neighbor, then you have no honor? You know that if you honor this man, but you dishonor this man, that you don't have love. I'm going to go, I don't know where to talk to because everybody's looking at me like I'm like a deer in headlights this morning. If I honor you, but I dishonor Terry, then I don't have love. Yes. Okay. I'm looking for agreement in the room. I hope you know that I'm not trying to get everyone to be loud. I'm really looking for agreement this morning, because if we don't agree on this, then we have no future, right? I hope you know I'm not a hype man. I'm not a screamer or a shouter. I'm not up here to berate you with the word. I'm here to bring unity to this body around these core beliefs that we know but we don't talk about, right? But if I honor my pastor, but I don't honor my brother, I don't have love. Okay? Let's look at number five. If our brothers or sisters sin, this is a big one. This causes a lot of people to struggle. If our brothers or sisters sin, we help them to find the root cause of their behavior so that they can be restored to wholeness. Notice it doesn't say send them to conversion therapy. Notice that it doesn't say we send them to Sozo. Notice that it doesn't say that we send them to a pastor. I love Sozo, by the way. I love Inner Healing Ministry. That's what that is, if you don't know. Deliverance Ministry, it's the whole thing. Notice that it doesn't say I find someone to ship them off to because it's too hard. It says if our brothers or sisters sin, we help them to find the root cause of their behavior. Not tell them how poor their behavior was, not tell them how offended I am by it, not tell them how poor of a Christian they are at the time. Help them find the root cause of their behavior. Why? Because I can address the symptom all day long. If I have a runny nose, the runny nose isn't the thing that I'm trying to get rid of. I'm trying to get rid of some sort of infection. It's a cold. It's the flu. It might be COVID. I don't know. Hope not. Probably not. But when we go to the doctor, when we send someone in to see a physician, the physician's not going to address the runny nose. Do we understand that? That my behavior, if I'm just going to keep going with this because this is my biggest one right now. If I'm irritable, if I'm just in a bad mood all the time, and Josh comes to me as a brother, and Josh says, hey, I need you to cut this out. Your attitude's really getting on my nerves right now. And he would do that because he can't. I give him permission for that. But listen to this. Honor says, honor demands, if our brothers or sisters sin, we help them to find the root cause. My irritability is only a symptom of something going on inside of me. Whether it's disconnection from the Father, whether it's just fatigue and being tired and not getting enough sleep, which mine probably has a lot to do with that. Whatever the issue is, it's his responsibility to address the root, not the fruit. And many of us, I'm counting myself in this, have displayed dishonor because we didn't have the maturity to look at what was going on under the hood. And our frustration caused us to lash out at the symptom and create disconnection. And honor calls us up into a place where we can see a person as though they're not. We can see them as the new creation, verse 17, new creation rather than the old man. And then we can address, hey, I don't know what's going on. I feel like there's something happening in your life. Can I speak into it? Can I pray for you? Let's invite the Holy Spirit into this conversation so that he can illuminate the truth of what's going on, right? It's those kinds of conversations that display honor rather than frustration and anger, that call people up into that same level of honor with us. Remember, honor produces what? More honor. When I show honor to Craig, and if he's been dishonoring to me, that level of display of honor is actually going to allow him, it may not always, it's his choice, but it will give him permission to come up into that place with me. And that's what Christ does with us. Amen? Let's look at one more. If our brothers are... we just did that one. I'm getting off track. Okay, so that's some context for what we're talking about. I want to look at two or three. Can I go over like 5 minutes? Am I good on time? No? Okay. I'm going over 5 minutes. You honor me? Thank you. I'm going to 12:05 and then I'm wrapping. Here we go. Let's look at some the do not misunderstand. Listen, these are some misconceptions, and I'm not here to say these to offend you or get onto you. This is not a slap on the wrist, but these are warnings. This is what dishonor disguised as honor can look like, right? Number one, we honor others in every situation, not just when and where it's convenient. John 13 says this, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. Ugh, man, that's tough. Ugh. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Notice that he's not saying that they'll know that you're my disciple if you operate in prophetic ministry or if you heal X amount of people every week. That he's saying that they'll know you by what? Your love for one another. Not for the one that he's talking about. Not for the unbeliever. He's talking about they'll know you by the way you love your brother and your sister and the person I serve with in kids church and the people that I work with outside of church where they may not even be churched. They'll know me by my love for my brother and my family. Number two, we do not always have to agree with everyone or have the same opinions. Most churches will tell you that you have to sign a statement of faith and beliefs, and if you don't agree, you can get excommunicated. If you don't agree, you can get out. Where honor dictates that, notice I say dictates, I'm not saying that God is a dictator, it demands that if we are to coexist in this culture, it demands that even though I might disagree with you, that I get to love you. That I get to treat you the same way that God treats me. Nothing less. Amen? I'm going to read Ephesians 4 real quick, and then I'm going to move on to our last point, okay? Ephesians 4, verse 1. I, therefore, prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, say one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of whose gift? Christ's gift. My ability to love, my ability to have grace, my ability to be patient, to bear one another, is all measured up against the gift of Christ. What are we talking about? The cross. Amen. Last one. Here we go. People can choose to behave their way. Oh, boy. We're going to have an issue with this one this morning. People can choose to behave their way out of relationship and connection with us. Remember when we talked about family in January, that people can behave their way out of the environment. We talked about family in that behavior will determine whether I stay plugged in and become more rooted or if I work myself out. Now we're talking about honor. People can choose to behave their way out of relationship and connection with us. Let's look at Titus 3, verse 9 through 11. 9-11, come on. But avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law. There's a lot of that right now. For they are unprofitable and worthless. As for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once, and then twice, have nothing more to do with him. Wow. Knowing that such a person is warped and sinful, he is self-condemned. Notice it doesn't say that he is Christ-condemned. Notice it doesn't say that God condemns him. Knowing that such a person is warped and sinful, he is self-condemned. That the way that he believes about not only himself, but the people around him has put himself under condemnation. That he has bound himself in his own cage of dishonor. Why? So he could be right on Facebook. Oh, avoid foolish controversies. They are unprofitable and worthless. Why? Because it's always at the expense of another person. Honor removes any hierarchy, any ladder system, any tier of self-worth, self-importance, and honor has leveled the playing field because of the cross, because of the sacrifice of Jesus, because he's put his spirit in us. Understand that everything that we're talking about this morning is not behavior modification. This is because his spirit is now inside of me, I am able to not only act different, but believe different. And with scripture and with spirit, it should transform us. It will transform us if we'll allow it. Amen? All right, let's stand up this morning. Okay. I'm going to pray real quick. Why don't you bow your heads? Why don't you extend your hands in front of you? Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you that you have restored us to relationship with you. I thank you for the cross this morning. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that covers all manner of sin, all manner of brokenness, physical brokenness, emotional brokenness, spiritual brokenness. And I thank you that before the foundation of the world, you have applied that blood to us. And so right now, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would begin the work, restore our spirits this morning, restore our souls this morning. Well, touch our minds, give us the mind of Christ to think the way that you think. Lord, show us the way that you see us this morning. That's what we're really asking, Father, not to have better behavior, not to know how to honor people, but to know how to love well, how to receive love from you well, Lord. Lord, teach us how to love. Teach us what honor looks like through your eyes. Show us what you see when you see us. I thank you that you're transforming the mind of every believer in this room this morning, that you're empowering us through grace, empowering us through your spirit, that as we leave and we disperse, we go back to our spheres of influence, that we begin to see the people around us in a different way, that we begin to treat the people around us in a different way, that through honor, we actually call people around us up into a higher realm of believing and behaving and understanding God and seeing God. Give us new eyes. We love you, Jesus. All this is for you. And everyone said, amen. Thank you, guys. Amen.
For more resources and information about Resurgent ATL, please visit our website,